As we've already heard already, the feast is coming up in a little more than 3 weeks. We'll be keeping the Feast of Trumpets. This will be my 57th feast. When I was a young kid, we were all getting ready a couple weeks before the feast. There were six of us in our family and had one car and had to pack up everything for six people in one car. And so a few weeks before, my parents would start putting out on the dining room table all the stuff we needed to take, you know, for all six of us. So it was an enjoyable time because we were beginning to see the dining room table becoming more full of stuff that needed to be packed. And it was a time that we all look forward to and a time I hope all of us are looking forward to as well. Let's look at Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8. And we see that the feast was held during this time. A couple of things we want to point out in these verses here. Nehemiah 8, verse 14. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. And so they did follow the law, and they rejoiced and celebrated the feast. And we find that in verse 17. The whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths, or as we do today, you know, go into temporary dwellings. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so, and there was very great gladness. We're talking about even during the times of David and some of the other righteous kings, it hadn't been done so in this degree as it was done then. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly, according to the prescribed manner. Very great gladness during that time. The people heard the words of God preached every day at the feast. So today, as we are, again, just a few weeks out of the Holy Day season, we want to again be reminded of the importance of God's feasts and how we can become better prepared for them. The title of the sermon is To Prepare to Keep the Feasts of the Seventh Month. Now, while we're here in Nehemiah, let's look at the second verse, Nehemiah 8, verse 2. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. So that included children who could hear with understanding. First day of the seventh month was the Feast of Trumpets. He read in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning till midday before men and women and those who could understand. They listened, as it says. All the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. And so we find that you have this service that took place. We find in verse 7 to 8 that there were a number of other Levites that helped them to understand the law. And in verse 8, they read distinctly from the book in the law of God. They gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So they had a service during that time. Nehemiah was the governor. Ezra the priest, in verse 9, he said, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the voices, the words of the Lord." And when you look at a lot of the incidences of some of the prophecies about the day of the Lord and what will happen, you know, right before the return of Jesus Christ and at that particular time, it is a very sobering day. And yet he says, look, it is also a day of rejoicing. And so we see that they were to rejoice. Verse 11, the Levites quieted the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Don't be grieved." And the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and rejoice, because they understood that the words that were declared to them. So they understood the words that were declared on the day of trumpets. Now we too rejoice with the meaning of that day. This year, the Feast of Trumpets will be held on Monday, September 14th. We're going to have two services, one at 10:30 and one at 2. And right now we have the Crevecoeur community room booked for that, and a potluck meal between services. It makes it much easier to eat right there with everyone. So that's, we too will be keeping the Feast of Trumpets. Now let's notice Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And let's look at verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. Say to them, the feasts of the Lord that you proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." So these are the feasts of God, and they are to be proclaimed as holy convocations. So we proclaim the fact, and we mention the fact, these are the days we will be keeping and where they will be kept. And so we see the law that Nehemiah and the others found in verse 23 about the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets." And we will do that as well. The next holy day is Atonement. Verse 27. "On the tenth day of the seventh month shall be the day of atonement, holy convocation to you. You shall afflict your souls." And we know that means to fast on that day. Don't do any work on that day. It is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. Any person who's not afflicted in soul on that day shall be cut off from his people. It's a required fast from God. God requires that. Any person who's not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And so we go on to verse 32. "Shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest. You shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath." So Day of Atonement this year will be kept on Wednesday, September 23rd. We are going to have services in Rolla that morning at 10:30. And right now the plan is that we'll be having services here at the Ramada Inn. And that's the plan right now at 2 o'clock. Services at 2 o'clock. So it's a day of fasting that begins on sunset Tuesday to sunset Wednesday of that week, that time. So we fast on Wednesday, September 23rd, from evening to evening. It's a day that represents atonement, a reconciliation for all peoples, a time when Satan finally will be removed. Now we come to the next holy day, and again, these are days that we will be talking more about on the holy days themselves. Let's look at verse 33. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. The 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. First day there will be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it." Verse 39. "Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the Feast of the Lord for 7 days. First day there will be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day, a Sabbath rest." So, the first service that there will be in many areas will be on Sunday evening, September 27th. The holy day actually begins on Monday, September 28th. We cannot get the hall in Branson on that evening because we just can't find the facilities that are available for that evening. So, we will be having two services on the first holy day in Branson. The eighth day, or we've been calling it the last great day, is on October 5th, Monday, October 5th. In all the years I've been in the church, and I'm sure all of you have understood this as well, this has got to be the most exciting time of the year. It was for ancient Israel as well. Now, let's look at Psalm 84 for a moment. Psalm 84. And, of According to Sansino commentary, they title all these psalms, and this particular psalm has the title of Joy in the Sanctuary. Joy in the Sanctuary. Psalm 84. Look at verse 1 and 2. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Israel would look forward to the times that they could come up to Jerusalem and keep the holy days, keep the feast. They looked forward to that. My heart longs for it. And that's an attitude we need to have as well. Let's look at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in God, and whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now, the Hebrew word there can also mean highway. Highway. And this was the highway to Zion. And they would pass through the Baca Valley there on their way. And notice verse 7, they would go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Strength to strength. So even though there was a fatigue of those who were maybe walking, at that time they didn't have cars, you know, they walked to go to the feast. So they walked. But the fatigue did not cause them any exhaustion. So they were looking forward to keeping the feast. As in notice verse 8, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear. O Lord God of Jacob, Salah. They were praying to God. They were looking forward to appearing before God in Zion. Is our heart set on pilgrimage? Is that something that we're really looking forward to? Or has it become like a burden to, you know, figure this all out? And that became a burden. Unfortunately, the feast became a burden to some people. And they thought, well, you know, I got to pack up and do all of this. And they looked at the negative aspect of it and did not look at the positive of what this feast was all about. Our heart needs to be set on this going up to where God has placed his name at the holy days, especially the Feast of Tabernacles here. In fact, there is a set of psalms, which I'm sure you're aware of, which are called the Psalms of Ascents, ascending. Means to go up to. And in this case, it was to Jerusalem for the feast. Now, in the temple area, there were 15 very large and wide steps that went up from one court to the upper court. And on each of these 15 steps, the priests and Levites would sing one of these psalms of ascents as they would go up toward the upper court. And they began singing these 15 days prior to the feast. It began actually on the Feast of Trumpets. From the time Feast of Trumpets to the feast, they began to sing these songs. But not only did the Levites sing them, these songs were being sung by the Israelites day by day as they were going up to Jerusalem to keep the feast. I don't know if they sang one song a day or two or three, or they were singing them all, but the emphasis was, we're going up to the feast. Their hearts were set on this pilgrimage. So what I'd like to do here for the remainder of the sermon is to look at these psalms. I can't get into all of them, but we're going to look at an overview and a summary of them. I will be titling them from what Sansino titles them. Again, this is how Sansino titles them, not my titles, but theirs, and so I'll give those as well. The first one is in Psalm 120. And each one has a unique aspect of looking up toward the feast. Now, this one is very interesting. The title of this that Sansino gives it, it's called The Slanderous Tongue. The Slanderous Tongue. And we see that the author of this psalm, which we believe is more than likely was David, laments that he's been obliged to live where he's heard nothing but lying and strife. And he's weary of these. He's looking for this land of rest. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Not only deliver me from, you know, any lying, but look what's going on around us. Look at the lying and the deceitful tongue that's going on, and the justification of wrongdoing. And it kind of wears you down. And it wears you down when people give excuses for why they do what they do, and they kill other people, and there's no, consequence for that. And you get tired of that. Well, the author here is tired of it. Verse 5, woe is me that I dwell in Meshach, that I shall dwell among the tents of Kedar. Now, Meshach was a son of Japheth. And these were people who lived between the Black and Caspian Seas. And it's interesting, among the tents of Kedar. Now, Kedar was a son of Ishmael. They were the Bedouin Arabs. And so this author is saying, I've dwelt among them, and these are warring people. And I'm for peace. I want peace. I speak, and they're for war. And we see that today. There was a disconnect between the man here who wants peace and away from lying and all this destructiveness. And so this is a pilgrim psalm of one desiring a place where there's peace. And I know we still live in the world around us, but I'll tell you what, it is very peaceful to go where there's other members in the church all together for a whole, 8 days, trying to obey God, and there is a peace among the membership in those places. Psalm 121 is titled God the Helper. God the Helper. This is a perfect expression of the trust in God. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Jerusalem is situated higher in the mountainous area than the plains were. My help comes from God. At that time, from Jerusalem, where the reigning king lived, and we know, of course, in the future, the Lord's going to reign from Jerusalem. Verse 3 and 4, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He keeps Israel. He's there to help us. Verse 5 and 6, the Lord is your keeper. He is your shade at your right hand. He's your protector. In other words, as you're traveling, you will not be in danger of sunstroke. And you won't have any dangers at night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. He'll preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And this psalm also represents the time of the second Exodus, when people are going to be coming out of all these areas from captivity into the land of Israel. And there's, for instance, let me just give you one side prophecy here in Isaiah 49, verse 10. Same thing, the heat will not cause you any harm. And you will be strengthened, and the Lord will bring you by springs of water. This is a millennial. It's also emphasizing going up to the feast, how God's going to watch over us and take care of us. Psalm 122, we find, is a psalm of David. This is called, or titled, The Pilgrim's Joy. The Pilgrim's Joy. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I'm glad that God's opened up to our minds the keeping of the feast. It's a relief to get away from everything and to go and be with the people of God. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And, of course, when you get to the site, don't we all? I don't know, I guess those memories are so good, even though there were a lot of people there, 15,000 at some of these feast sites in Mount Pocono, in Lake of the Ozarks, and to be there with all those people, even though with long lines of traffic, I know that you're familiar with that as well. But there was something unique about it. You're glad to be at the feast. Jerusalem has built a city that is compact together, meaning all these people were coming in there, and it was compact with close human relationships there. And it's even saying where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel. This is also into the future where all peoples will go. All tribes will go up to the feast. Verse 5, thrones are set there for judgment. The thrones of the house of David. King David and his descendants would be reigning from Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. This is a condition of wholeness where nothing is lacking. You know, this praying for the peace of Jerusalem can also be found in Isaiah 62. Peace in your walls and prosperity within your palaces. I'm sure we all pray that God will set his angels about us and protect us where we are in various feast sites. Verse 8 and 9, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say peace be with you. Because the Lord, the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So again, millennial, as the Feast of Tabernacles does picture. Psalm 123 is a hymn of faith. A hymn of faith. Unto you I will lift my eyes, you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their masters. We'll lift up our eyes to you, the one who is enthroned in the heaven. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. Being filled with contempt is being humiliated by persecutors. Who among us has not been persecuted? Who among us want to just wish that God would open that person's mind right then and there? You can't do this. You can't do this, you know, and you can't be this way. And you wish God would open more minds that way. It'll come. And so our soul is filled with scorn from those who are at ease, with contempt. We go to the feast to get away from all that stuff. And that's why we can't bring some of the baggage that we have and the things that are going on around us. There is a different environment at the feast. And we've got to admit this. It's got to be different. I know that the camp program is phenomenal. And that's a great program. And that's a great atmosphere. The Feast of Tabernacles has to trump all of those activities. All of that. Because these are God's holy days where His Spirit guides and helps us all. And it's enjoyable. That is the environment we want the whole world to have. Again, I'm not taking away from the camp program. It's very good. But you see, the holy days of God, they trump all of that. It's a very good environment. Okay, Psalm 124. This is called the Song of Deliverance. If it had not been for the Lord who's on my side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who is on my side, they would have swallowed us up alive. If God had not been with Israel, they would have been swallowed up. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord who has not given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. Our snare is broken. We've escaped. Our help is the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So we've escaped from the snare of the fowlers who would set traps for birds. Our help, our protector is God. Psalm 125 is titled Security in God. Security in God. Psalm 125. And here we see that those who walk in the Lord are like Mount Zion that can't be moved. And as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. It's nice to know that God's going to be surrounding us and protecting us, setting his angels about us. Verse 5. Peace be upon Israel. As it says at the end, peace be upon Israel. It's interesting what Sansino says about this phrase. Peace is the end of tyranny, hostility, division, disquiet, alarm. Peace is the end of tyranny, hostility, division, disquiet, and alarm. Peace is freedom and harmony and security and blessedness. Those are pretty good definitions. Peace is freedom and harmony and security and blessedness. So when you see that phrase, peace upon Israel, it includes all of that. The end of tyranny and yet the harmony and security that comes from the peace from God. Psalm 126, this is an interesting title here, and Sansino calls it a disappointed hope. And it's hard to understand why would they call it a disappointed hope, because there have been so many times in ancient Israel where they would come out of captivity, but it wouldn't last long because they would get back into doing what they did to cause the captivity in the first place. And so here we're seeing when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those in a dream. Could it actually be happening? Could this really be happening? Well, it's just a dream. But no, it is not just a dream. Our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. It is absolutely going to happen. It will be real. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. We are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. So showing again this bring back our captive means, of course, restore what we had from the time before we went in captivity. Now, this is a Psalm 127. It's actually a Psalm of Solomon that's found in these Psalms here. This is titled God's Essential Help, or God's Help is Essential. God's Help is Essential. And that's why it starts off with, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stands awake in vain. God's got to build the house. God has to be part of our whole existence, our family. What we do as a family, what we do in building even our house or anything that we do, we toil. We toil. We toil in vain. It's because the Lord is not with us. And the Lord guards the city. So it's important to make sure that God is part of our lives. It's a priority in our lives. Behold, children are a blessing, a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. The Jews believe that a child has three parents, mother and father and God. And you have that bond there. By the way, we are going to have the blessing of little children 2 weeks after the feast, and we will have that as well 2 weeks after the feast. But here again is that the children are a blessing, a heritage from God. Now we come to Psalm 128, and this is titled The Happiness of the God-Fearing. The Happiness of the God-Fearing. And this is, we see that if you fear the Lord, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Now we have to remember, the Levites were singing these psalms as they were looking forward to participating in their involvement in the feast. The Israelites were walking along singing these songs. And they knew the words, they knew the music. And they're all singing these. And they're repeating these words. Everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you will be happy. It will be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine. There'll be blessing in your family. Your children will be like olive plants around your table. The Lord will bless you out of Zion, verse 5. You'll see the good of Jerusalem. And so you see this repeated statement. Peace be upon Israel. Peace be upon Israel. You could just imagine the amount of volume there was. And just listening to the choir practicing up here beforehand, sounds so very good when you hear that. Can you imagine hundreds and hundreds of people together all singing these particular songs? And they're all praising God? Psalm 129 is titled The Sufferer's Plea. The Sufferer's Plea. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Yet they've not prevailed against me. How many times has Israel been, afflicted? How many times have we in our own lives have been afflicted from various, whatever it might be? But it says, we find out right here that, yet they've not prevailed against me. Because God's there to help and to protect. If you, Lord, verse 4, the Lord is righteous, actually. He is cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame. Any of those who do go against Zion, not a good thing. Not a good thing to go against where eventually God's laws are going to come from. Okay, Psalm 130 is titled A Sinner's Cry. A Sinner's Cry. Out of the depths of I've cried to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. We're praying to God. It's like coming, crying out of the depths of like water. We're crying out to God that God would hear our voice, that our ears would be attentive, that his ears would be attentive to our supplications. If you, Lord, verse 3, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? But there's forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. If God took count of all of our sins and all of our iniquities, we'd be in bad shape. But God thankfully forgives us. And that's encouraging. That there is forgiveness from God. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word do I hope. In his word do I hope. Verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him is abundant redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all of his iniquities. And we know that is going to happen. And we hear that, and we will be hearing that time and time again at the feast. And it's going to be reinstated in our minds, and we recognize why we are there. We hear these sermons every day, and then we're to be able to go out and rejoice with one another at the feast. I don't know how it was with you when you would come back from the feast and your school buddies would ask you, well, what'd you do? And when we listened to sermons, we got together with, members and, how do you really explain to somebody who is not at the feast? How do you explain it? It's hard. How do you explain it to your fellow co-workers at work? It's hard to explain it unless somebody was there and experienced it. And that's what God is wanting us to do. Experience the feast so that we truly will know what kind of world it will be like in the future when all can have that opportunity to keep the holy days and the feasts of God. Psalm 131 is titled The Humble Spirit. The Humble Spirit. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things so too profound for me. In other words, we realize that we are not haughty. We're not arrogant. We are to do as Israel did here. Verse 3, Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. We follow that example. We don't get into our own haughtiness and loftiness, but we follow the example that we should hope in God, not longing for power, but hope for God, hoping God from this time forth. Psalm 132 is the longest of the Psalms of Ascents. And this is Psalm is God's promise will be fulfilled. God's promise will be fulfilled. Verse 7. Let's go to his tabernacle. Let's worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness and your saints shout for joy. So the saints, the godly men, would shout for joy. Verse 11, the Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. And we know that King David will reign over Israel in the future. It's a promise. If your sons will keep my covenant, my testimony that I teach them, their sons will sit upon your throne forever. Verse 13, the Lord has chosen Zion. He's desired it as his dwelling place. He's looked forward to the time Jesus Christ comes down onto the Mount of Olives and it splits open. And then Jerusalem is going to be the headquarters for the whole earth. Now verse 14, these are the words of God. The words the one who inspired the writing here. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. This is what God says is going to do. And we know Christ will establish the government of God over the earth. Verse 17, I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. So we're talking again about the time that the horn of David, his progeny, they will be strong. They will be victorious. And of course we know when Christ returns, there's my anointed that will be established over all the earth. These are millennial psalms. They picture the time of the millennium. They also picture the time of what the Feast of Tabernacles means. And again, portrays. Psalm 133 is Blessing of Unification. It's titled Blessing of Unification. Being unified together. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Isn't that a wonderful thing when everybody can get along and everyone can cooperate? We don't have these schisms and we have one big family. That's what we're to try to be a part of. You know, and I know sometimes we have opportunities at the feast to be with friends that we know, and that's great, but we need to try to expand that and get to know people. And years ago, my mom used to do this. She'd get a notebook and she would write down names of people that she would meet at the feast. And then she would just, and we didn't have email, you know, there was no email back then at that time, nothing like that, and or cell phones, no email addresses, and she'd put the name and address down. And one time I found her notes, and you know, page after page after page of people, and I lost them somehow, but I'm sure she met people, because there were dozens and dozens of names of people she would meet. It might be good, all of us, to at least meet one or two more people that we didn't know at the feast this year. At least that. So that we're unified together. We're unified together. It's like precious oil on the head. You know, we're all going to be brothers and sisters together in the kingdom. We need to be brothers and sisters here too. You know, so we're really unified together here as well. This is a blessing of unification, as it's titled. Psalm 134 then, we come to the last one. And this is greetings in the temple. It's titled Greetings in the Temple. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. We're there at the feast. We're so thankful then to be at the feast. And the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. So we know that the Levites who were serving at the temple there stood there at the temple, even by night. And here are people coming up to keep the feast, and they're blessing God. And it's one of the most unique experiences to come, either on the first night at the feast, and they're in Branson, at least for the first holy day at the feast. And that's the conclusion. So what you have are people whose heart were set on pilgrimage. 15 psalms and praises. It reminds us how God will bring about the millennium. And God wants us to think about it. So it might be good, from trumpets through atonement to the Feast of Tabernacles, to review these psalms. It might be good to, you know, just read them, and one or two a day, possibly. It helps us in our mental thinking of what we're looking forward to, so we don't forget it and realize that we're going there for more than just a family vacation. We're going there to really, really become more unified with God, to learn to fear Him more. And so these fall holy days all look forward to the future. They have not yet occurred. Christ has not yet come back. Satan has not yet been removed. And the millennium has not yet begun. And the second resurrection, of course, has not yet occurred. So we need to be thankful for this and ask for God's protection and guidance at all these feasts this year. And as we prepare for that, think about all the, and we do have to do some physical preparation, that's true. I might mention as a reminder that if anyone needs an excuse form for school or for work, I do have those available, so please let me know. And in conclusion, let's look at one more psalm. Let's look at one more psalm. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. It's titled here, A Psalm of Thanksgiving. It's interesting, too, that Sansino calls this a call to the service of God. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He's God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. So all people of the earth will eventually be invited to join Israel to the worship of God. We know that. That Egypt will even be invited to come. And if they don't come, they won't have rain. But here we're to serve Him with gladness and be a unified band of people to do that together. And we know that God's eventual loving kindness will not, His loving kindness will eventually be available for all the world. This is what we look forward to. Our hearts should be set on pilgrimage. So when Christ returns and He establishes His kingdom, we'll be there helping Him fulfill the rest of the plan of God. So let's look forward to the coming holy days this year with great joy and positive expectation.